Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So before we start, let us pray. Father, we just want to praise you and lift your name and glorify your name on high, O God. Thank you that you've given us great opportunity that we can call you Abba, Father. Lord, we believe that you're not surprised of everything what is happening around us. And this is also the time especially for every child or children of God to pray, not only to those people that we know, but for every person that already been affected, oh God, and to those that are going to, and to even to every person, oh God, that we pray the covering of your blood, Lord, be with them. And we believe, Lord, that you are not limited of time and space, so that even how far they were, we can still send word to them. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I command those death to stop due to these viruses, oh God, and even the virus itself in Jesus' name. And Lord, and even the words, Lord, that I'm going to speak today, Lord, breathe in these words, and those people that who can hear these words will be blessed and will saturate in their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic that I'm going to share with you today is about growing in the grace of God. You know, as Christians, we are all aiming to be mature in Christ. And even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that we shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So it will raise a question about, are we really already perfect by the time that we got saved? Because over the years, there have been different reactions to this verse. Some have glorified it, some have denied it. Some have tried to explain it or rationalize it away, or others have just ignored it. But I can say that we are a work in progress. We are being perfected, we are being changed and transformed by the stream of love, mercy and grace that flows from our God. So when our Heavenly Father looks at us, He sees us through the covering of the perfect righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which means He sees perfections on us through His blood. But that does not excuse us from living however we want to, or it does not excuse us from allowing the Holy Spirit to bring change and transformation to our daily lives. So perfection may seem like an impossible possibility, but as Christians, we are called to try to do something that we can never fully accomplish in our own strength. So what does it mean to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? So it's about going on with God, growing up in grace, doing and saying and living in a way that demonstrates our love of our Lord and Savior. Striving for perfection in attitude, in service, in love, in holiness, and even in Christ-likeness. We should determine to be better in our daily lives, so our salvation should make us uncomfortable when we sin. Once we have been saved, we should be hunger for perfection. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 remind us that God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? It takes effort to live a righteous life. It's not something we can do on autopilot, or we need to be active participants. We need to be surrendered to the will of the Father. We need to be surrendered to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to be surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be willing to give up everything that is holding us back, holding us in sin, holding us in defeat. We must be willing to give up anything and everything that is stopping us from becoming and being the people God has called us and saved us to be. In Christ, by God's grace and mercy, we have been forgiven because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. We need to move on from the sins of our past. Focus on present, walk with God, and commit our future to Him. So, there are some questions here. Do you have the desire to be perfect? Are you willing to follow God's purpose for your life? Or were you willing to surrender your life to Christ? You know, total surrender to God's plan and purpose for us is one of the first steps for perfection. Jesus calls us from the sins, failures, difficulties, and disappointments of the past and the present to a life of service in the future. And this is another big and very common questions that everybody probably will ask. And this question is, are you a baby in Christ or a child growing in the grace of God? So which one are you in these two questions, a baby in Christ or a child growing in the grace of God? But let me clarify these questions. How much have you grown in faith since you first met Jesus? Is God making more of a difference in your life today than He did then? Or are you spending more time in prayer? Are you spending more time reading the Word? Or are you spending more time sharing His love with others? Have you learned how to serve Him? And are you seeking spiritual growth in your life right now? In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." When we first come to Christ, or I can say that when we first accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are fully saved. But we are not fully mature Christians, because spiritual birth does not automatically produce spiritual maturity. We start our like babies. We start out like babies in the family of God. Then we learn to walk with our Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So some Christians grow quickly, so others slowly, and some choose not to grow at all, which is very sad. They are simply unwilling to put aside attitudes and actions that are against the will of God. They are not allowed the Holy Spirit to work in them or teaching of Christ to change them. So we can look at our failures to measure up to what we should be as followers of Jesus. We can wonder why, even though we have been born again, even though God has placed a new nature within our hearts, sin and evil still continue to plague us. In 1 Peter affirms the need for us to put off evil and harmful attitudes so that we can grow spiritually. As children of God, we need to recognize that spiritual growth is both a responsibility and a continuing opportunity. Those of us who are more mature in our faith also need to face up to our responsibility toward younger Christians. And on the other hand, those who are the babes in Christ, we need to do all that we can to help them in their progress toward spiritual maturity. And even as well, 1 Peter speaks of the provisions required for spiritual growth. He speaks of our Father, our food, and even our future as the children of God. So in 1 John chapter 3, it says that, "Behold, what a manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should call children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Our Father loves us. We are not what we ought to be, nor are we know what we can be. Yet, our Heavenly Father loves us, and He wants us to grow spiritually. So, what should our attitude be towards our Heavenly Father? As His children, we should love Him. As His children, we should trust Him. Or as His children, we should obey Him. God has provided us with spiritual food. As Father, God has made us provision for His children. So in His Word, which is the Bible, God has provided us the milk, the meal, and the bread we need for spiritual fuel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 23 that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And even in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14, it says that, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all Scriptures is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, brothers and sisters, for our spiritual growth, we must know the truth of God revealed in His Word. For our spiritual growth, we must obey the truth of God, learn from a study of His Word. When we study and obey the Word of God, our faith grows, our love deepens, and we gain spiritual strength. And we draw closer to our gracious Heavenly Father. And Our Heavenly Father has a plan for our future. So even in 1 Peter reveals as well that this destiny God has planned for His children. It is our Father's will that we, the followers of Christ, assume both the privilege and the responsibilities that had once been bestowed upon the nation of Israel. So let me remind all of us in 1 Peter that, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We are to show forth praises of the one who has called us out of darkness into light. God has a plan and a purpose for each of one of us that requires our growth in spiritual maturity. And it says you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there is a necessity for our spiritual growth. A baby in Christ cannot do the work of a mature Christian. Spiritual growth is absolutely essential so that we can serve our Lord. So the writer of the book of Hebrews grieved over the spiritual immaturity of the people he was writing to. He declared their lack of growth made it impossible for them to understand the things he was trying to communicate to them. He actually rebuked them because at a time when they should have had the capacity to be teachers, they needed to be taught themselves instead of being able to eat the strong meat of the Word of God. They were still infants on a milk diet. We can see that in Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11, it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing, for thou by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, just like a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in our country, there are laws that forbid the employment of children until they reach an age where work will not be damaging to their growth or education. So when young people are old enough to become employees, because they have little or no experience, they usually start at the bottom of the ladder and begin to work their way up. So if we not grow and develop, we cannot become effective servants of the Lord. So when we grow, when we develop, when we train, when we experience, God give us greater responsibility to help and teach others. And then let us go back and return to the first question that I asked you earlier. Are you a baby in Christ or a child growing in the grace of God? If you're a baby in Christ, you don't have to remain that way. Are you a child of God who is in the process of growing in grace, growing toward spiritual maturity? Maybe you rejoice in the privilege of being spiritual mature and effective in the service of the Lord. So brothers and sisters, all of us can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until He calls us home. The only way we can grow spiritually is by walking in a conscious awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell within our hearts. Our spiritual growth is manifest in the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives, and we can see that in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in closing, and let me summarize with this, we can experience real joy through our spiritual growth. As Christians, we have many things to be joyful for. We can praise our God for the joy of having our sins forgiven. We can rejoice in the blessed assurance that we are children of the living God. We can face the future with joy because of the assurance that death has been conquered and the grave will not have the final victory over us. Our hearts can be overflowed with joy because we know that Christ is preparing for us a home at the end of our earthly journey. We can also be grateful for the joy we experience as we recognize the signs of our daily growth toward spiritual maturity. We can have joy because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our spiritual growth brings joy to our Heavenly Father. And as His children, we can rejoice in the joy of our Heavenly Father. By God's grace, may each of us grow toward spiritual maturity for the glory of God alone. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.